Now, you have to understand, I'm going to be speaking in generalities this morning. I mean, according to all the sources I've read, on a statistical basis, the majority of men feel the way that I'm going to lift up today, and the majority of women feel the way that I am going to lift up this morning. I can't speak about you specifically. It may be way off, but just across the population in general, this is the way men and women understand themselves and understand their needs. First, this is a huge subject. Trust me, I'm not even going to try to cover this subject this morning in this sermon. The Bible has an immense amount of material on this subject, and I've decided to split it into three major sections in my sermon series, in my sermon this morning. A word to those who are not married is the first section, women's primary need, and men's primary need. On the subject of sex, I think I have shortchanged the women just a little bit. You can let me know if you agree with me after I'm done, but I think that is probably the case. The first point this morning is that sex is a gift. Sex is a gift. We need to understand that sex is a good thing. It is a good thing. I mean, really, after all, God created sex. It was God's big idea. We didn't create anything new for us. The opening pages of the Bible says that God created man who was a lonely bachelor until God caused a sleep to come over him, and he took one of his ribs, don't count, we have the same amount of ribs, and he rubbed it with a little earthen clay and formed a woman, and God brought her to the man, who said with excitement, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." You know, that is the first thing that I would have said. That kind of sounds a little rehearsed, doesn't it? But anyway, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And for this reason," the Bible says, "a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." And then this final word to close the second chapter of Genesis, "The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." But you see, unfortunately for people like you and me, after God finished that day of creation, calling man and woman good, human culture has seemed to take over the sex market, you see. And society has beaten its glamorized drum so loudly that we haven't had a chance to go back and be able to hear God's original dream, God's original design. You see, it was a good thing. It was a good thing. It was clean and pure, this thing of man and woman being created for one another. The Bible says that Adam needed a suitable helper and companion. Now, we have to delve a little bit in this subject that we call premarital sex. One thing that I wanted to say this morning in this morning's sermon is so that our youth would have an opportunity to hear God's desire for us around this subject. Now, Genesis again, 2:24 says, "Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to" who? "And they become one flesh." Now, youth, please don't drown me out here, wherever you are in this sanctuary. Please do not drown me out here. Here is what the Apostle Paul says about sex. And this is powerful, folks. "There is more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact." Have you ever thought about that? Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. By the way, this is 1 Corinthians 6:16-20, if you would like to check it out. "As written in Scripture, the two become one. Since we want to become spiritually one with the Master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever. The kind of sex that can never," what? "Become one. There is a sense," now listen to this, "there is a sense in which sexual sins are different from all others. in sexual sin, we violate the sacredness of our own bodies.